Ty Richardson, ESPN Arkansas, man. The only man in here brave enough to drink ranch waters with me.
With a brother, a fellow SEC brother. What's going on, Mike?
Oh, I'm doing great,
cheers,
man.
First time I ever had ranch water was with you.
You like these?
Yeah, these are great. I know you were hyping this up before we got on. All right.
Simple. There's something simple. Not a sponsor. I'm trying to make them a sponsor. But it's tequila, sparkling water, and real lime, it says. That's it.
Well, it's 2023. Let's make it happen. Come on, ranch water. Michael Braden, Cousin Shane, that's the way to go. That's how you endorse your product right there.
So how fired up are you to be back in Nashville? Yeah. SEC tournament? This will air after the tournament. So hopefully we're speaking before the Razorbacks go on this incredible run and win the whole thing. We have no idea how it's going to take now, but enjoying your time up here?
Absolutely, man. I miss living here at times. Coming back's always great. You think about Nashville, it's like Atlanta, like Birmingham, it's an SEC mecca.
Yeah.
And, I mean, whenever I come up here, there's always a ton of SEC fans, and it's not just for the tournament. Like, anytime I'm around, there's constantly guys and gals still sporting their college after school. Yeah. Like, hey, how old are you? I'm 26, and they're still sporting their whatever. Because it's a pride thing, and hopefully Arkansas has some pride. And, like I said, kind of after the fact that we're doing this, but I hope that they show up this weekend.
Right, and that dictates how long you'll be in town, too.
Yeah, well, I may or may not have swayed the old boss to stay in town the whole weekend. Because it's Nashville, man. I mean, you live here. You know how great of a city it is.
No doubt, and we're going to have SEC Media Days coming up here. I think it's going to be the best one yet.
Woo!
Right off Broadway. I'm so fired up for football. But I'll be honest with you, perfectly honest. Main reason I want to have you in here, Ty, I want you to sell me on why Arkansas is going to be good this year. Because I'm not sitting here saying they're going to be god-awful. I think they got the best quarterback in the SEC. Shane said I was bandwagoning the other day. I was like, my God, I was hyping KJ up before anybody. Rocket Sanders, you can make the case, best running back. Could make the case they've upgraded at offensive and defensive coordinator. I'm not 100% sold on that. But tell me why you think last season was a little bit of a fluke and why Arkansas is going to be better.
Well, last season was tough because I think they had four games that were decided by one possession or less that they lost.
Yeah.
So they didn't win those games last year like they did the year before. Mm-hmm. The injury to KJ Jefferson, not only when he was hampered in the Liberty game, did play against the Mississippi State game, mm-hmm. both of which they lost. He's the most important player of anyone in the SEC because if he goes down, and I love Jacoby Criswell. I actually had a conversation with him in Chapel Hill last year.
Oh.
I did a little pre-recruiting like when Arkansas was playing the Super Regional. I was like, hey, man, you should transfer back to Fayetteville. Come back home.
Yeah.
And this was prior to them actually having their season. But KJ is so important to Arkansas. And you mentioned the combination of him and Rocket. It's awesome. And I think it's easily the best in the SEC. Last year was Gibbs and Young, but they're both gone.
Yep.
Hooker's not here. Hooker, in my opinion, should have been in New York at the Heisman Trophy. That was ridiculous that an ACL basically prevented him from that. But, yeah, it's KJ. It's KJ and if him and Rocket need that offensive line, they need some receivers, dude. I mean, I love Jaden Hazelwood and Landers and some of the other guys, but they didn't have an alpha. You got to have an alpha on this team. I don't care who it is. I don't care if it's a fifth guy coming out of spring. I don't care if it's one of the transfers. You just got to have an alpha. They don't have one right now.
Right. And you reference, one loss games. Problems in the red zone. Sam Pittman says that's going to be, the emphasis of spring. And also a number of dropped interceptions for the defense in the red zone. I mean, we could sit here and make excuses for everybody, but a couple of those things change. Maybe Arkansas does win 8, 9, hell, maybe even 10 games last year. And we're sitting here saying, damn, Razorbacks are elite. You know what I mean? So it's like it's a fine line. I'm not trying to make excuses, but maybe they were a little bit closer to not having that drop-off. You know what?
No, you're 100% right. And you mentioned the drop interceptions. I specifically remember the Mississippi State game where I was in Starkville. And by the way, Starkville, underrated city. People love to bash on it, hate on it. Cotton District, good food. I had a great time. I thought it was awesome. And I just love SEC towns. But Rodgers should have thrown three picks in that game. He had one over the middle. He had one in the red zone that I think it was Chavis that just dropped it. And there was one other play I think Hudson Clark should have had. I mean, there's three that, like, right in the hands. The guys just missed him. And that's when you say, well, that's why you play D-back and not wide receiver. they didn't have anything to go their way this year. And honestly, they should have lost the bowl game. Kansas should have came back and won.
Yeah.
Because that would have just been the story of the season. And I'll tell you what, if that game would have concluded in the same form or fashion that the Belk Bowl did years ago for Bielema,
yep,
we would have said the exact same thing. But this team found a way to close it out against a Kansas team that wanted every bit of smoke that Arkansas just didn't offer up in the second half.
So no concerns that Sam Pittman is the right guy or any – I mean, I know where you work. You have to say no concerns.
No, Betsy. I feel like I'm not a homer. I mean, I've come on this show and been like, look, this – you still don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's year four. Let's think about this. So you go 3-7 year one, and you get –
and that was all SEC schedule.
Mm-hmm, correct. Toughest schedule in college football. And immediately you're like, this guy knows what he's doing. Like, there was a culture change, boom, right away. Next year they win 9 games. But the kicker on that – is Arkansas had a ton of super seniors.
Yeah.
This is the year where you're like, all right, look, there's not really super seniors involved with the program. This is year four. A lot of times I think football coaches are judged. People say year three. To me, it's year four. I know the portal and NIL and that kind of changes that. But, I mean, this is a year where I think Arkansas needs to get 8 wins. 8 or 9 would be great. I don't think 7's going to cut it this year. When I say cut it, I think from a fan base expectation. So I'm not going to sit here and tell you that Sam Pittman defiantly is Frank Broyles and like the next coming of Arkansas's best football coach. But I'm also not going to sit here and tell you that he's easily disproved as the non-answer to this point. I think we still got to wait and see. But they do have some pieces like Rocket and KJ, as you referenced.
Well, they had a lot of transfers out. A lot of transfers in, too, mm-hmm, but one of the highest transfers out, and clearly some guys were, I don't know what you want to call it, but not bought in or, mm-hmm, locker room issues perhaps. Does that concern you at all, or do you think maybe just guys that just didn't buy in and now they're gone and we've corrected those issues?
I think there's a little bit of concern anytime you hear about locker room turmoil and some things that are going on behind the scenes because, one, you don't know what's true. You don't know what's false.
Right, right.
Two, you're just kind of sitting there wondering, is this the beginning of something that could be bigger? Now, you've got a lot of transfers out of, you said, some guys that were injured, some guys that didn't play. And, I mean, Jalen Catalan's probably the most notable guy that ended up hitting the portal.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought a lot of guys in. They're continuing to do that. They just got Jaheim, and I'm forgetting what his last name is. Kid out of
Singletary?
Georgia. Yeah, Singletary.
5-star?
Mm-hmm. 5-star, 5th-best cornerback in all of high school coming out of – had offers at Ohio State, LSU. I mean, wherever he wanted to go, he could have gone. So they're hoping that this group is more bought in with each other like the group 2 years ago. And again, that I go back to how many super seniors were on that team. You just hope that this team avoids the injury bug. Unlike the basketball team without Nick Smith and Trevin Brazil, the football team again last year with KJ and others, and then the baseball team, they've lost what was supposed to be a starting pitcher in Jackson Wiggins. They just lost Cody Frank for the season, and their closer, Brady Tigert, Mike, is now out for a good chunk of weeks. So injury bug just hit every major sport at Arkansas to this point.
Well, we got a new strength coach, so hopefully that won't happen
Ben
with
Souders,
the football
baby.
Team. You know?
Let's go.
Let me ask you this. Kendall Browse, is he the most hated man in the state of Arkansas after – I don't know, he was already kind of unpopular. I always loved him. That's a strong word. But I thought he did a good job last year, probably his worst job. But I don't know if you can put that all on him. But then all the shenanigans with the – every – damn offensive coordinator job that was open. He was rumored, you know, I'm sure that was agent talk and all this, but yeah, correct me if I'm wrong. He got a raise and then another job come open. And by God, the next day, Dan Enos was the coordinator. How out on Kendall Browse is that fan base?
Based on what Sam Pittman said initially when Kendall Browse was, I guess, courted by, I don't remember if it was Miami or Mississippi State first. He reached out to Dan Enos. Spoke to him. Browse said, you know, I'm coming back. Then the TCU thing came about, and it seemed like, hey, probably need to go. And then Dan was brought in really took it quickly. Like, that process was pretty seamless from at least Sam Pittman's perspective.
Yeah.
And when I think what was so aggravating and frustrating about Kendall Browse is he thought He was Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid when he should have just been Kellen Moore. Arkansas is a Dallas Cowboy offense. They run the football, and Dak occasionally throws.
Right.
And he thought he had Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, and Patrick Mahomes at time as quarterback, when KJ is clearly more like Dak than he is Mahomes. And fans were just driven up a wall when something would be working, and he would inexplicably switch, bring Malik in as a gadget player, do all these trick plays when, while it wasn't fancy, it was just honest. I mean, you deal with people all the time in the South. There's not a lot of fanciness to what we do each and every day, how we go about our business, but it's like, it's good, honest work. Arkansas is a good, honest program. Stick to that core philosophy, and it will probably keep working, and occasionally he would stray away from that.
Yeah, and Arkansas fans know good and well Dan Enos, what he's capable of producing mm-hmm. on offense. And since that time, of course, he's worked with Jalen Hurts, who had flaws in his game. I don't even want to say KJ has flaws, but Jalen Hurts certainly. I mean, he was his freshman year, he was all SEC Offensive Player of the Year. I don't think he really should have been, but he mm-hmm. he was at Alabama. And then, but of course, he got benched, but he got better. And when he stepped up in the SEC Championship when they needed him, Dan Enos coaching him then. So the hope is that he can get more out of KJ, just like he did Jalen Hurts, who he's already compared the two. What's your thoughts on Dan Enos coming back and how high he can elevate this offense?
Brandon Allen was a subpar quarterback in 2013, an okay quarterback in 2014, and a really good all-SEC caliber quarterback in 2015. And Dan Enos, if anyone, probably deserves the most credit for that. He loved to say the word juicy. You're going to hear the word juicy like consistently throughout Arkansas TV telecast this season. That's his word. And BA was slinging it his senior year. I mean, he had Hunter Henry, Jared Cornelius, Keon Hatcher, Drew Morgan. I mean, he was tossing that ball all over the yard, in addition to having Alex Collins, and I guess Jay Will was hurt that year, so I think Raleigh Williams was the other guy that had, I think, nearly 1,000 yards. I don't know if he busted it or not, but I mean, their offense was awesome. It was statistically, it was the best. It was either best or second best offense in Arkansas history. So people remember that.
Mm-hmm.
They also remember Cole Kelly and how bad the Louisiana Steamboat was. There was no choo-choo train on that. It was just like straight into the rocks or straight into the abyss or the Nile or whatever. So that was tough. So there's good and bad, and I think people remember more good than bad with Enos. And you got to have that connection. I like you and Shane. That's flawless symmetry, like chemistry. I just hope KJ is worthy of a comrade as Cousin Shane and Michael Braddon are.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that. So, hey, Ty, now that I got you here, this is an opportunity. If you want, you don't have to take it, but this is an opportunity for you to apologize to Texas A&M.
You looked at the guitar for a second. I didn't know if you were going to ask me to play that or not. I was like, you do not. Well, your audience would show it.
Because I had you went viral on it. You really went in on Texas A&M leading into that game, and that was the most god-awful, painful loss. I mean, of Arkansas, I think that's why I love Arkansas so much, because I see Tennessee in them. Heartbreak, you know, just annually seems like heartbreak. You know, you think you're on the rise, and then something just shits all over you like a damn double doink, and you lose a game. And that was after KJ did Superman from the five for some reason, a totally unnecessary change.
I blame Cam Newton for that.
Change the game. I mean, that was just, after your comments, that had to have been a damn gut punch.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had Texas A&M media members that are supposed unbiased were making fun of the comments and making fun of me, which is, I would have done the exact same thing if an Aggie had done something similar. And it was, my mentions were rough for a couple of days. The DMs I received, I lost a bet to this A&M guy and immediately paid up. Like instantaneously, Cam missed the field goal. I sent him the stuff, and then he just goes in hard C, like all these cuss words. And I'm like, look, man. Then he proceeds, this stupid college kid, and I still hate Texas A&M. I'm not apologizing for that. This stupid college kid, like 3 a.m., just starts after I already paid my debt to him. Like at 3 a.m. just sends me another like paragraph of text about how he hates Arkansas fans, the interactions. And I was like, dude, I don't care. Like I don't want to ever talk to you again. It's just part of it. But you know, it's one of those things where you have a rivalry in everything, right?
Yeah.
And for me, it's not to say that I don't like Texas, or I like Texas, because I don't. And I like Alabama because I don't. But I hate Texas A&M. And that will never, ever change. And it's just because they beat us in football. Basketball, baseball, it's like kind of whatever. Like, I don't want to lose to them. But
yeah,
football, it's just like, you just like knife to the kneecap like every single year.
And how much are you looking forward to that game? Of course, it may not be annual anymore, but they're taking out of damn Jerry World.
It's probably good, right?
Yeah. It's like a house of horrors.
I mean, you had the game last year where I'm watching it in Kansas City because I'm going to the Chiefs game the next day and just going ballistic. Burks has that like 75-yard TD from KJ. And then This past year, we know what happened. Every year before 2011, we know what happened. Yeah, this game needs to, much I love Jerry Jones, what he does for Arkansas, this game needs to get the heck out of there. I'm ready for it to go. Kyle Field, Fayetteville, and Donald W. That game, as much fun as I have going to Dallas and seeing a bunch of Arkansas fans and friends that live down there, I mean, I can tell you what happened in each game from 2009 through last season. I can tell you, not play-by-play or quarter-by-quarter, legitimately the end of every game.
The heartbreak of every one.
Yeah, how it happened, what led up to it, and every single one. It's just, it is locked in my brain.
See, again, going back to Tennessee, that's I could tell you the same again, Florida. It's every damn year. It's a Hail Mary. It's a, you're up by six, and they got 80 yards to go.
Screen route.
I mean, just on and on and on and on. It's the same. They're basically identical twins, and they hate each other too, which is ironic to me, but hey, I love them both. But let me get to this then. Will you be sad if it looks like this is going to happen, where Arkansas and A&M, it should be home and home, but probably are not going to play each other annually in the new SEC scheduling format? What's your thoughts on that?
Arkansas, according to Dellinger, is getting Missouri, Texas, and Ole Miss. Now, as a guy from Little Rock to Oxford's about 3.5. So it's there's a lot of Ole Miss people in the central and eastern part of the state. That's a big rivalry around there.
A lot of great games, too.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. It's probably, if you look at it game by game, it's a top five rivalry, at least in the past decade or so, in terms of the game by game that you play out.
Yeah.
Most notably, the Swine Intervention in 2015. Have some of that Ole Miss. Texas, that was the game every Arkansas fan wanted, over like 35, so everyone's pumped about that. And then Missouri, you knew you were going to get paired with them. I would have loved to go to College Station every other year. I think that Texas A&M Arkansas rivalry is great. Norman's 3 hours from Fayetteville. It makes logistical sense, but they didn't pair you with the Sooners.
Yeah, well, I wanted to ask you about that. So, would you have liked to see an Arkansas and Oklahoma every year, or is that a little too, I don't know, was Oklahoma even in the Southwest? I don't know.
So Oklahoma's in the Big Eight, but in the part of the state where I live, there is a lot of Oklahoma fans that live in Arkansas and a lot of Arkansas fans that live in Oklahoma because of how they're bordering, right?
Yeah.
So that is a huge rivalry that I didn't know about until moving to where I'm at now in Fort Smith. I think it's great if every time they play, that Tulsa game in basketball is awesome, and the BOK Center, outstanding facility. Mm-hmm. I think anytime the Sooners and the Razorbacks face off, it's a lot of fun. You almost saw it in the College World Series last year. Hogs just didn't hold up their end of the bargain. They couldn't beat Ole Miss. But yeah, that it was a little bit of disappointment. You would rather have Oklahoma than Missouri, even though Missouri is a more winnable football game year after year. And I say winnable. Arkansas's beaten them one bleeping time since they've joined, or twice, excuse me, twice since they've joined the SEC, and never in Columbia.
Yeah, that's wild, isn't it?
It's not wild. It sucks, Mike. I mean, you and I we've talked about this. The pain that Arkansas fans and Tennessee fans has felt is so connecting. Like, I saw the pain in your eyes when you were talking about that Florida-Tennessee game, because I just had the same pain with the stinking A&M Arkansas game. It's crazy, man.
Like, I don't know if it's worse, man. If I know Arkansas fans were not happy with last year, but how would you like to be essentially locked into the college football playoff, and then all you got to do is go beat South Carolina, which lost by goddamn 40 points against Florida, who sucks, and they beat the shit out of you, and there goes your dreams of that, And it was 2016. It was the same scenario. They had the East locked up. All you got to do is beat South Carolina with Will Muschamp. Couldn't do it. And then even worse, the next week, Vanderbilt, god-awful Derek Mason. You beat them, you go to the Sugar Bowl, lost to Vanderbilt. That was the
Butch Jones?
That was the end of Butch Jones. I mean, might as well got – they should have fired his ass that night. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I don't know what's worse, having a disappointing season or having, you know, looks like you could legitimately win the national championship and then getting smoked by South Carolina. And, hey, they get bragging rights. But, by God, I have to hear from them every day. I had media members just like you. They're like – They're DMing me, and I'm like, I did nothing to you. Like, what are you talking about?
You probably weren't talking as much trash and as much idiocy that came out of my mouth prior to that game. Now, Hooker got injured in, what, the second quarter?
I think third quarter.
Third quarter. But that game was, at that point, kind of out of reach already, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't have, even if he was healthy, they wouldn't have won.
Rattler, that's the best game he had all year in the biggest
That's the best game
he's
had in his life.
Yeah. He was slinging at that game because what did it end, like 63-38.
God. And I think Tennessee scored a couple of those late.
Late, yeah. I was so disappointed. Back to Hooker. Again, I'm not a Tennessee fan. Arkansas fans hate Tennessee because of 98. They get the connections you're talking about, but we have listeners every day that will mention 98. Yeah. And how painful that loss was.
I was at that game with my uncle, who's an Arkansas grad.
Is he really?
And my dad's Tennessee, so it's like, man, that was a fun night, you know, well, for us.
Oh, man. Yeah, and 0-1 wasn't fun either. Yeah, that, 6-7 OT game between Jones and I forget how y'all had a quarterback that day.
It was probably a Clawson. We've had about six of them.
Yeah, you had Richard Smith down the sideline for about 80 yards to tie that thing up late in the fourth quarter. But,
yeah.
The South Carolina-Tennessee game, it's like you're on the brink, right? Like, for example, Arkansas-SEC championship game, 06. I think they're up at that point. I think it's 24-21. And then Reggie Fish, he muffed it. You hear Vern Lundquist, he muffed it. And I am leaving to go to Cotillion, and I want to blow my head off because not only do I have to dance for the next hour and a half with girls I just didn't want to talk to in sixth grade, but I also knew the game was over at that point in time. That's living hell. Don't send your kids to Cotillion. I know you got a lot of people listening with kids. Don't send them to Cotillion. It sucked.
Will you at least be happy, though, that, I mean, it's kind of sad to say this, but that Arkansas won't have to play Alabama every year?
Yes, 100%. People always are like, oh, you got to play the best teams. We want to play the – no, you don't. What national championship team do you ever look back on and say, you know what, they avoided this team or they avoided this team?
Right,
no,
right.
You just say they're a bleeping national champion. Like Arkansas last 2 years in basketball. They avoided – so 2 years ago in basketball, they didn't have to play Ohio State because Oral Roberts won. And then last year, Connecticut lost to New Mexico State. They played New Mexico State in the second round. And they also avoided someone else, like a higher seed, and they didn't have to play them. So,
but no one remembers.
No, you just remember two Elite Eights.
Right, right.
So why on God's green earth would you be disappointed in not getting to play Nick Saban? Would you want to avoid that at all? You think Georgia and Kirby Smart are disappointed that they don't? They would have lost last year. I would have bet any amount of money that Alabama wins that game if they would have played in the SEC championship or the college football playoff. Georgia fans probably hate that. They didn't want any part of Bama.
Yeah.
Any part. The only reason they beat them 2 years ago, no John Metchie, no Jamison Williams.
Right.
No chance Bama wins that game if Bryce has anyone to throw the ball to. And yeah. I hate Bama. I hate him. But it's the truth.
Chris Marler is nodding in approval,
I know,
as
man.
You say that.
Marler, if he was texting me before the Bama game in Tuscaloosa and asking me about these certain bets and stuff, and I think he called me at halftime. And Arkansas's up 9 at that point. And
was
I still
2 years ago?
No, this is it, basketball.
Oh,
this
basketball,
year.
Okay.
And I'm thinking, after Arkansas loses that game, bad second half, I'm thinking if Marler calls me, I'm going to kill him. Like, I'm literally, and when I see him at media days, I'm going to push him off like the top story of where we're staying because I don't want any part of that. But he was very, he refrained, and his life is now longer in jeopardy because of that. There's sarcasm in that if you didn't pick that up, Marler.
So how excited are you, though, or do you not care at all that Texas and Oklahoma are coming to the SEC? Because we just had this conversation with Joseph Goodman. I don't know that it's great for college football as a whole. I think it's outstanding for the SEC.
The SEC won, not night and day. And USC and UCLA, while great television markets in Los Angeles.
People out there don't give a shit.
No.
No, I've lived out there.
There's 10,000 things better to do than go to a UCLA or USC football games.
Right.
There's, I guess Texas is different, but there's not much to do in Oklahoma other than go to a Sooners and Cowboys game in Stillwater. There's just not.
I went to a tailgate one time out there. My buddy, it was Oregon, and that was when they had Chip Kelly, and Southern Cal had Lane Kiffin. Now, fans were not, you know, all aboard of Lane Kiffin, but it was a top, like, 20 matchup. It was a big-time game. Game day was there. My buddy's like, we got to go to this game. And I was like, all right. So we went. I swear to God, you know, there's a parking lot around USC Stadium. I'd say about 60% of the people that were tailgating when the game started, they just went home. Like, they don't go. They don't even go to the game. They go to just the party to because it's a big event. Could you imagine in the SEC? The only way that would happen is if the stadium sold out and they just couldn't get in.
Oxford.
And they'd hang out. Well, yeah, okay, maybe that's one exception. But they would stay outside. You know, people just left and they just go to, like, the bars after that. That turned me off to the whole Pac-12.
Oh, no, man. It don't hold a candle. And while the Big Ten's much better tailgating, much better pageantry and tradition than that, I get the allure of adding USC and UCLA, but that's not Big Ten. Say what you want about Texas and Oklahoma, that's a perfect fit.
Yeah.
And I know it's, again, Southeastern, and you're pulling teams from more of like the western part of the South.
Yeah.
But in terms of culture, not just within football, but the states themselves, tradition, and how the fans are going to connect, it's perfect. It's absolutely perfect. And it's Texas and Oklahoma are way more SEC than Missouri. I mean, are you kidding me? And then Columbia, Missouri, and Missouri fans? It's not close, man. It is not. It's night and day, the difference between adding those two programs and then UCLA and USC going to the Big Ten.
And we'll see it all across the SEC, Ty. The first time Arkansas goes to Austin as a conference game, the first time they go to Norman, you know, that's going to be fun. And obviously when those fans come to Fayetteville for a game, you know, they're going to get, well, of course, Texas fans already know all about that, don't they? But Oklahoma fans are going to find out real soon. I mean, it's going to make those games more fun, more exciting, a new experience. You know, it'll feel like a bowl trip, I would think, the first couple of times for not just Arkansas, but all across the SEC that care about football. I mean, it's just another trip to take. I don't see any downside to it.
Mm-mm. I mean, Norman's not a great college town, but Austin is.
Yeah.
And it's now Gaylord Memorial is a great place to watch a football game, as is Darrell K. Royal, the quietest 100,000 fans you'll ever sit next to in all of college football. I think a lot of people can attest to that. But the atmospheres and everything involved with those two schools are great additions. And you mentioned the selling point, not just from getting those television markets, not so much Oklahoma, more the national brand with them. But when Oklahoma comes to Bama, or Texas comes to Bama, or Texas goes to Georgia, you think about the just insane lead up and build up to that Saturday.
Yeah.
It's going to be a new era. And just think about Saturdays themselves. We probably have 2 weeks a year in the Southeastern Conference that are just dog crap weeks for college football in this league. Once conference play starts, like, it's going to be really difficult outside that week, I guess 12, when they just put the non-cons.
Right before rap leagues.
That there's going to be a bad conference week. Like, just the adding of those two schools, as we're not flicking to CBS at 2:30, but adding those two schools was a brilliant move. I know Greg Sankey's going to get the credit, but whoever actually decided that in that office, they deserve much more than a gold star.
Yeah. Well, you already mentioned going to Starkville and that being an underrated place to go visit and see a game. Are there any others on your list that maybe you put above any others that you've been able to travel to and see?
Athens was unbelievable.
Yeah.
Unbelievable bar district, most per capita in the country. And, I mean, as
beautiful campus, too.
Oh, yeah. As a 28 single adult male, you look for three things: good food, good drinks, and beautiful women. And the SEC has, in every single town, in every single city, has that. Athens was unbelievable. Baton Rouge is still my number one. I have had two incredible weekends in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Yep. The plan is to go to Tuscaloosa this year. Stay with my buddy Parker, I think, is the plan on that. He's in law school. There's an Arkansas kid. I'm excited about that. Going to Baton Rouge for the first ever football experience in Death Valley, which is, I'm literally petrified to wear red because of how angry they could get. I think my boss is going to Gainesville, which I've never been there. I'm hoping I get to go alongside, and we'll have to wait and see on that. And who else is Arkansas schedule on the road? They got Auburn at home. That was fun. Sky Bar, Southeastern, two like combo best bars in the South, and it's incredible. Sky Bar is just like, it keeps going. again, Cotton District in Starkville's great. Oxford, they'll go to Oxford this year. I'm going to try and make that. I was not 21 when I went last time. I feel like you can't really say you've been to Oxford unless you're actually of age.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's just so many unique towns in the SEC. I've heard good things about Columbia, South Carolina, Columbia, Missouri, it's whatever. I mean,
Have you been to Rocky Top yet for a game?
So I went for on the way to Chapel Hill for when they were renovating Neyland. Yeah.
You got in there, didn't you?
Yeah, I just snuck in. I mean, they were doing construction. I was like, all you have to do in those situations is act like you belong. Mm-hmm. And so I just acted like I was working or whatever, and saw Neyland as it was getting renovated and whatnot. Went to Calhoun's on the River. Mm-hmm. Really cool spot. That's another place that I would love to go to for a weekend. I hold this statement very strongly. I don't think there is not a group of people in all of 22 that had more fun than Tennessee fans after the Bama win last year. That you could not find a section in the entire world of people that had more fun following that kick when Tennessee beat Alabama. Not close.
I know tons of people that tore clumps of the grass, so they put it in bags. Of course, they put the goalposts, they threw it in the damn river.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, my God. Well, that's 15 years of frustration right there. You know what?
Yeah. That game, man, I was cheering so hard for Tennessee. And you just see, I'm not a Tennessee guy. Again, I want to be very emphatic about that. But that Hooker kid, Hendon, like, you heard it at the combine. All these different NFL GMs, execs, and scouts are like, all this kid's doing is improving his draft stock when he talks to us.
Yeah.
That's all he's doing. And the combo of him and Jalin Hyatt is going to go down as one of the more underappreciated combos in the last two decades of the SEC. I mean, there wasn't anybody that could stop him. You had, what, two All-Americans in the secondary for Bama, and Jalin had, what, five touchdowns in that game?
Yeah, give me five.
Good gosh. And he ran a 4.3 something 40, mm-hmm. 4.2 or whatever. He's unbelievable. And Hendon's like, well, he got asked in the combine, is like, so how about the fact that your receivers were beating your guys? It's like, what am I supposed to do? Not throw him the football? Like, what the heck kind of question is that? Dude could sling it. Again, it's a bummer that he wasn't. But yeah, that's the big
concern, I think, with Tennessee is you can't replace those guys.
Yeah.
But how much was it Josh Heupel? In his system, in just knowing, you know, because of how quick they go and how they line up,
yeah,
and having a quarterback that can run, I mean, it's damn near unstoppable if it's executed properly. And that's the thing. I mean, like, just to what you're saying, Hendon Hooker, maybe it is a one-read system, but my God, if the guy's 10, 20 yards open, throw him the fucking football and you'll be fine. As long as Joe Milton can hit those accurately. I'm not saying Tennessee will be as good because Joe Milton is not close to Hendon Hooker.
Yeah.
But I don't know, man. I mean, like in the Orange Bowl against Clemson.
Yeah, they beat Clemson.
They smoked them is what they did. Jalin Hyatt was out. Cedric Tillman was out. Obviously, Hendon Hooker was out. It seems like it's almost like a plug-and-play. And again, there'll be a drop-off, but I don't know how significant of a drop-off it'll be. And that's just a question we're going to be debating until kickoff, you know?
They'll beat Georgia this year.
You think?
Unless something crazy happens. They were devastated after that Georgia game.
Yeah.
Because that was, I mean, the hype surrounding that, as I was 2 years ago when we walked into Athens and got curb stomped 36-0. So not as worse than what you guys experienced this last year. Yeah, and Kirby called out the dogs because he likes him. No, either you watched that game, they just kind of started running and whatever. But they're going to beat Georgia this year, even without Hooker, Hyde, all those guys you just mentioned. They're not going to Tuscaloosa and win that game, though, because Nick's going to have something special in store for that. But all right.
What's your level of concern? I realize neither one of us you know, we don't live in Athens. We don't cover the Georgia Bulldogs. But, I mean, it's like arrest after arrest after arrest and all this. And, you know, maybe that's just to the victor go the spoils and they're having too much fun. But, I mean, people are literally dying.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's tragic. There was an incident there. Obviously, everybody was well documented. But it doesn't seem to be any kind of punishments or anything from Kirby Smart. And, again, maybe it's an isolated thing. But there's been about six, seven guys that have been caught speeding and drag racing or whatever the hell they're doing down there. And I don't want to throw Stetson into there, even though he got in trouble. It was totally unrelated. And he was not even on the team. And if I had won back-to-back national championships, I'd be getting arrested every weekend.
He was wasted on
Good Morning
America.
If people knew what I was doing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, so I don't hold that against him at all. But it's almost one of those things, Ty, where everybody is looking at him saying, this is the new Alabama. But Nick Saban's a GOAT for a reason. Because Pete Carroll was there. Miami was there. There have been many programs that were Texas with Vince Young. I think they lost like two games in 3 years or something. Teams have reached to where they're elite of the elite, but it's short-lived. Only Nick Saban has done it for decades and decades. So I think it's you know, Georgia's going to be their biggest enemy moving forward in that complacency, which they've not had any of that. But I don't know. I'm interested to see how that plays out. And now everyone's telling them, look at this schedule, which they're going to be double-digit favorites, everybody they play. But that's got to be Kirby Smart's worst damn nightmare.
And they didn't have their best season this year because of, I think they just don't feel like they were challenged. Then they played Tennessee. They dog-whooped them, and they played some other teams. They crushed them. I think the thing is with that, Mike, I was reading something with the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, and I need Chip Towers or one of those guys to help me out. You probably know one of the AJC guys that I don't know if it ever passed, but I think Kirby Smart, in terms of the open records request, was trying to lengthen the time.
The first day he got the job, that's what they changed.
So it was changed. Okay.
So you file a request, you get that information in 6 months, which when no one gives a shit about it anymore.
Ever. And so, I mean, there's reasons that was done. So that stuff gets kept in-house, and they decide in-house player personnel and all
that stuff.
That's a slippery slope, man, when you're not – that's the whole idea of media, is so you have a backbone that you're not controlling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why people at times get frustrated with the political stations today and news talk, is because they feel like that said host or that said writer or whatever is either biased for or biased against – the current president, the future president, the former president, whatever the case may be. And in the case of this, you've got a situation where, I didn't know 100%, but if it's been changed like that, then you can just keep all that stuff in-house, and there's no way to figure that out from a media standpoint. So with this whole situation with, now help me on this, one of the recruiting coordinators, Devin Willock, and who's the young man that's supposed to be drafted like top three overall?
Jalen Carter. And another one of the football players, I think it's Warren McClendon, offensive tackle, who's going to be a high draft pick. He was in the car that the people died, but he thankfully not injured.
Okay.
But he could have died.
Yeah.
And there was another staffer that apparently suffered serious injuries.
I've been told this many times, on the field, production leaves to off the field issues. And a lot of times you just think you're above the law. And
yeah.
I mean, we do a certain extent, like media members, like you, I can act like this because I'm well known, or I'm this, I'm all that. I mean, it's just, it's part of life. The more people that know, the more product and value that you bring in, you feel like, not all, but some people feel like they're above some others. I feel like that you and I are pretty decent about when we meet someone or deal with people, we're just normal.
Yeah.
But I just hope Georgia cleans that up, because, I mean, SEC's had issues, man. This has not been a fun PR year or so for Sankey. You got the Hugh Freeze stuff. You've got the Brandon Miller stuff. You've got the Georgia stuff. You've got now, I mean,
looks like Chris Beard's
coming. Beard stuff. I mean, I guess it's just at a point where SEC athletic directors are like, what at all costs? We don't care.
Right.
Or we have to spin this. Our PR department has to spin it away and sports wash. You know what sports washing is. We use a sports, and a lot of times it's used for, like, people talk about live golf. They talk about various other sporting events over the years where they just use people's love for sports to disguise something bad or something maybe that shouldn't be going on, that is, and that. And I think in certain cases, that's what's being used at a heavy clip when it comes to this conference. And it's working.
Yeah.
Eventually, the story just subsides and people get over it.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you this to close out here. Arkansas is in spring right now.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the main things you'll be focusing on or you want to see? You know, we don't always get answers. That usually comes more in the training camp and obviously the season. But things that you'd like Arkansas to try to get solved in the spring.
Wide receivers, number one position group you got to figure out, as it was last year. And you did to a certain extent, but you also didn't because you just didn't have that dude.
Yeah.
I don't care who it is, Mike. You just got to have that alpha. You got to have that guy that steps up and says, throw me the ball any down, any situation, any coverage. I'm going to go get it. And they had that 2 years ago. They didn't have that last year. I'm still wondering about the D-line, the secondary players they brought in. I mean, they do have a lot of question marks. Now, when you have Rock and you have KJ, that's something you can kind of lean back on a little bit. And they have a quality running back room as well. But Sam Pittman's got a lot of questions to be answered. New staff on the defensive side of the football, a couple new on offense. Let's go.
And I put this out there. I'm going to see if you agree.
Okay.
Lane Kiffin, they call him the Portal King.
Okay.
I think Sam Pittman is the Portal King. When you look at – now, Lane Kiffin gets that title because he's bringing in 20 damn transfers a year.
Yeah.
I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But what Sam Pittman and company are doing, they're bringing in guys like Drew Sanders and, hell, you can go back to Felipe Franks, John Ridgeway, Hazelwood, Matt Landers. I mean, and I'm probably missing a couple, and they've added some more. They have done a better job of bringing guys in and elevating their game and getting them to the next level than anybody. Sam Pittman's my Portal King. Mm-hmm.
Treylon Smith, Franks, you mentioned John Ridgeway, Markell Utsi, Trey Williams,
yep.
Drew Sanders, Matt Landers, Jaden Hazelwood, Dwight McLaughlin.
Yeah, he's another one. He's one of the best corners mm-hmm. in the SEC now.
Had one of the best interception ratios last year. Latavius Breeny, all the guys that I just listed started the right. last 3 years. 3 years. And
add Singletary. We'll see what he does. Mm-hmm. But if he lives up to the hype, my God, he could be good too.
Yeah, it's one thing to not get on the field at Georgia. It's another thing to see some PT at Arkansas. What they're doing is they're adding pieces. They're saying you can play and compete. One of the things he talked about this week, I know you listen to press conferences, we messed up with just saying Jaden Hazelwood was the starter last year.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that. You have to earn it. You're going to start on the second or third team. And we're going to go from there. That is the way to do it. Even if it's a, like, you know he's going to start. Like, he's just a dude. He's going to be on the field. You have to at least work him into that, even if it, like, a week. Just, some will be quick, some will be short. But, yeah, there's a lot of questions about this football team. There's, as you probably have with Tennessee losing a bunch of y'all's best players.
Yeah. Final thing I wanted to ask you, mm-hmm. I don't want to forget about this. I love talking Hugh Freeze because he's such a...
Hugh, baby.
I mean, such a storied background, obviously, we all know. But he's had some classic games there with Arkansas as well. And now he will in the future, I assume, as well. What's your thoughts on old Hugh back in the SEC?
That Auburn game at home is going to be wild because, I mean, Liberty just beat you in a tight one this past year.
Yeah, oh yeah, I forgot all about that.
Now he's going to be rolling in.
That's probably I don't know because I wasn't there, but that may be the damn game that got him that job, you know?
Oh, no, not any doubt. I mean, you beat an SEC team on the road with Liberty. That was, people will say, oh, that one, yeah, it was, 100%. That game in Fayetteville is going to be wild. It's probably the best home game of the year. They got Will Rogers and State coming to town, and then Hugh Baby and Auburn coming into town. So, can he catch? The question I have for him is: LSU's going to be good this year. Bama's going to be on what people presume to be a revenge tour. Can he have a Gus Malzahn 2013 where he just catches lightning in a bottle and they just go off? Because you think about offensive minds, Gus was very much that in 2013. I know that he's still having success at UCF, but not the same as he was then.
Yeah.
And then Freeze coming over from Liberty. Weirdly, last year, Liberty was a really good defensive team and just kind of okay on offense. I guess Arkansas lost that game 21-19, so it's not like he poured in 50 points on the Hogs. It was more of a gritty defensive game.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they're going to have success. Is that game in Tuscaloosa or Auburn this year? The Iron Bowl.
It's in Auburn.
Auburn?
Yeah.
Weird things happen in Jordan-Hare Stadium, man. So I could see them pulling the upset in year one. I mean, Hugh knows how to beat Nick.
Yeah.
Being a back-to-back should have been three straight times. So
yeah.
It could happen, man.
I know I said last thing. I just thought of one more.
Going,
one
man.
More. Arkansas, they always have the fucking most ridiculous schedule in the SEC. And this year, I think it's not as bad, but they do have, I think they have like a 6-week stretch where they have like one home game. So that is kind of brutal. But given that the schedule is not as daunting as it has been, even though you do got, you know, you got BYU thrown in there and stuff like that, are Arkansas fans looking at it as, you know, this schedule sets us up for success?
100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you got Florida who, I don't think Gators are going to be any good to you.
No, I think they're going to be one of the worst teams in the SEC.
I don't think Arkansas has ever won in Gainesville. They got to go to Gainesville in November, which by no means is going to be an easy game. But
right.
Years past, you never want to go there. This year, they're kind of like, that's not a terrible game. Maybe the Swamp.
And the last thing you want to do is be there early when it's hot humid and muggy. Because that beats people just on itself.
Mm-hmm. So the schedule this year, they got 3 cupcakes in BYU at home this year. You don't have to go to Provo.
Mm-hmm.
That's theoretically 4 wins, and then you just got to find a couple SEC wins here and there. So,
yeah,
season ticket holders get screwed because the home game is in college or in Jerry World, and they put a game at Little Rock, and I'm a Little Rock kid, and they shouldn't still be playing there. I just don't. At this point, you just got to sever the tie and maybe play the spring game there, I guess. But
yeah,
so that kind of ticks some people off, but. Other than that, it's, like you said, it's not a bad schedule. It kind of sets up well for Sam, and he's gotten screwed year one, year two, and year three, so it's nice that he's finally getting some luck, at least from a scheduling standpoint, his way.
So you heard it here first from Ty Richardson, 11-1 Arkansas Razorbacks. I'm ready for it.
Oh, man, that would, I don't think my liver could take an 11-1 football season if we wound up in Atlanta, Georgia, only to potentially maybe get smacked by Georgia like we did in 2002. You get all the way there in 2002, and you lose 30-3 to Pollock and company.
Oh, wait, one more. Jimbo Fisher, what are the odds he gets fired? Because I know you love the
Magnus. Think it's just a question of him or Bjork first. And I've said this on our show. I've said this on your show. And I've said this to others. I'm scared that Juracek's getting that College Station offer.
Really?
Yeah. I think they'd be stupid not to look at him.
Yeah.
I mean, Auburn.
One of the best ADs.
Yeah. Auburn tried to hire him. They finished like 7th in the Director's Cup last year of all college teams.
Yeah.
I mean, soccer team went to like the Elite Eight.
He's got Texas ties, right? He used to be at Houston.
Yeah, he was at Houston. He was at Coastal Carolina. I think he was at one other spot. But that's who I'm worried about if I'm Chancellor Robinson and the rest of the Board of Trustees is Hunter going to College Station, because Bjork and Jimbo, their days are numbered. It's just a matter of when.
Yeah.
And I unfortunately think that Arkansas is going to lose to Bobby Petrino and company, and I'm going to have to watch that in person and want to jump out of Jerry's box, his press box, later this season in September.
All right, good note to go out on. Ty Richardson, tell the folks where to follow you and all your work.
Thanks, Mike. So ESPN Arkansas, hitthatline.com every Monday through Friday from 6 to 9 a.m. And we have a little fun, talk hogs, talk various other things. And I just can't wait to be back here for media days, man.
Yeah, it's going to be a blast. You know what?